Time later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which is Aramaic, is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get into the well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you."
Morning to each and every one of us. And I appreciate the lovely ladies. Can we put our hands together for them this morning? They had helped us with the singing, and I'm sure you enjoyed the music. How many of us were blessed this morning from that singing? Great. So thank you for doing that. You know, sometimes we feel it's easy to sing until you find yourself in front. Because sometimes you can sing, and then when you find yourself in front, the stage fright sends the singing away. And then for those who can't sing, that's another one. So it's not about the stage fright, it's that the voice is not there. And then for those who can sing, but the voice is not that good, you also know that's another issue. So when you have a people who can do that all together, we should appreciate God for their lives, and we should continue to hold them up in prayer, and because they make our worship much more harmonious and blessed. And so, welcome this morning. Don did announce earlier, I'm grateful for those of us who remembered to add the extra 1 hour. And so we have you here at the right time. If for any reason we find those who come in later, we'll be graceful towards them. Because it does happen. I was just telling Kevin, I said, I thought my smartwatch would be smart enough to just turn when it was the time. But then when I woke up, I saw there was a different timing on my phone and a different timing on my smartwatch. So I don't know if the guy's not smart again. But then I put it on all the way. I didn't want to bother myself this morning about that. So it's good to be in God's house, and it's good to begin to finally step out of the winter. That's the period I wish that I had a remote control and just fast forward. But then God's wisdom has made it possible. So we're stepping out of the winter. And the sun this morning was very graceful, you know, just looking at it. If you love nature, if you don't love nature, well, that's another thing. But if you love nature, seeing the sun this morning should brighten your day. Because the Bible says, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the name of the Lord shall be praised. And so we praise the name of the Lord today again for this lovely time. And John chapter 5, that's where our story this morning comes from. And I don't know, even listening, and for those of us who probably saw it on our Facebook page yesterday. The scriptures were put there. And I also would assume some of us got mails from our sister Carol, who does well in telling us what is coming during the service. So you might have seen what we're looking at this morning. So the Bible tells us the story of a man. We don't know whether how old is he. We will not assume he's 38 years, but the Bible tells us that he's been in his health challenge for 38 years. And then 38 years, he was there, and nothing happened positively towards his life when he came to the pool of Bethesda. The word Bethesda means the house of mercy or the place of mercy. And so he stays in this place, and the Bible describes this place as a miraculous place. A place where at different seasons, that could be yearly, that could be monthly, but then it was a seasonal thing that the angel of the Lord would come down, and once the angel of the Lord appeared, there was a pool. And then the angel would stare the pool. And the moment that pool is stared, whatever your ailment, whatever your disease, whatever health challenge you were going through, if you are able to dive, move, just get into the water by any means, then you are made whole. And so because of this hope that there is healing right in front of them, but then nobody knows the timing. So you don't have a schedule, you don't have a calendar that says, angel shows up tomorrow. Angel shows up 5:30 and early in the morning or in the afternoon. You don't know, so you just have to be at alert. And so here is a whole lot of people, crowd. The Bible said people with diverse kinds of problems. So if you thought you had an issue that was serious, you are able to see people whose issues are far more serious than yours. If you thought you have had a challenge and it's been for a whole lot of years, then you will get to see someone whose situation has been there for longer years than yours. In fact, definitely at that pool, there will be people who had problems as old as other people. This young man had a 38-year-old problem. It is definitely possible around that pool you have people who are 38 years old, which means the problem he was facing, the challenge, was as old as somebody. And then the Bible says, suddenly, Jesus walks up to him. He didn't know Jesus. He has not left the pool for all this while that he's been there. And so Jesus walks up to him and asks him a question. Would you like to be well? Would you like to be okay? And his response was, I do not have anyone to carry me into the pool when the angel comes. And Jesus says to him something profound. Take your bed. Take your mat, depending on whichever translation. Take what you have rested upon all this while and do what? Go home. The Bible said he took his mat or his bed, whatever it is he was laying on, and then he walked away for the first time in a whole of 38 years, he could walk. Sometime later, the Bible says Jesus finds him in the temple. Before Jesus found him in the temple, those who knew him one way or the other, who had seen him when Jesus was doing that, Pharisees and some others, and it was a Sabbath day. So the Sabbath day is a day you need to rest. It's a day to honor God. So doing a miracle will be considered as doing a work. And you are not supposed to do any work on the Sabbath day. So the Pharisees looked at him and they said, young man, my brother, you are not supposed to be carrying your bed around. Now, if you are in his shoes, how would you look at those people? And then he says, well, it's not me. The one who discharged me said to me, take up your bed and go home. So I'm just obeying. And then they say, okay, who is the person? He did not even know the name. Neither did he know where Jesus had gone. But then verse 14 tells us Jesus later would meet him in the temple. And Jesus said to him, go and sin no more, so that something worse than these will not happen to you. Let's bow down our heads this morning. Father, as we look into your word, the perfect law of liberty, in a few minutes before us, speak to each and every one of us, that as we navigate life in the midst of our pains, challenges, whatever life holds at us, may we indeed continue to enjoy and experience your divine intervention. Thank you, because we know today once again you will speak to us. And Lord, at the end of this worship experience, we'll have the full course to give praise and glory to your name. And the church say, amen. Okay. What a very interesting story. Some years ago, while I was younger, this is my own personal experience now, one of so many that I can describe as a divine intervention in my life. And that does not negate whatever God is doing in your life. And that doesn't mean that what God did for me is something he can't do for you, or that you have not experienced that dimension of God doesn't mean that God has not been doing stuff in your life that is different. I hope you get that. So when I say then the story looks somehow, don't worry about your own. Just know that God has been doing something, but he can always do more. And that's what we're trying to remind ourselves as we navigate through life. So we're talking about navigating life, a candidate for divine intervention. Navigating life, a candidate for divine intervention. And that's the series I began last week. So I used to use photochronic lenses. In Africa, especially Nigeria, we have this old Coke bottles. The Coke bottles that we did have, now most of them have become plastics and carn. The under was very thick. It looked like a refractive index for those with a bit of physics. So thick. So, because I had the challenge of seeing far, I had to sit right in front of the class to be able to see the board. If I sit at the back, I won't be able to see. So that's the first problem I have. So I can't see far while growing up. Two, the second problem I had is with light ray, sun ray. So when lights like this, I have to grope, close my eyes to be able to see, because they have a way of affecting me. So I have to squeeze my eyes to be able to see. So I have two things going. Number one, I can't see far. Number two, the sun or any bright light was not my friend. So this is the way I look. So when I use the photochronic lens, what it does is to shield the sun ray or any light ray. But the thickness or the refractive index of the glass helps me so that I can see. So I sit in front of the glass. So I continued that way for years. But my mom, she moved from the what we call the African church, and then she became a part of the Pentecostal movement. And so she believed so much in prayer. She would pray with all the gymnastics and all the vibration necessary. Amen. So she would go out to some programs, you know, church programs. She would carry me to go along. This one, you don't have any option. With my mom, you don't discuss whether you're going to church or not. Whether you have taken your bath, you have freshened up, you have brushed your teeth, that doesn't concern her. Once it's Sunday, by default, you should know you are going to church. So if you give an excuse, she just said, no problem. I will get a kind of pep for you. Let's go. And so you don't have an excuse, so you go with that. So I saw her over and again. And so she gets to some of this program, special programs of the church, and a minister comes in, and in the course of the process, oh, those of you who are having challenges with your eyes or with your back, with this and that, okay, come forward, let's pray with you. And then the prayers go. And then some ministers will come say, you just have faith. When you have faith, you need to take action. What is the action? Even when you don't feel anything, you have to behave the same way. And so my mom too, you know, I wasn't the only person using glasses. She was also using. Her own was not photochronic. So my case was, I mean, worse than us. So, but then the thing is that she was using glasses and she's my mom. So when they finish all those kind of programs, then she would, on one of those occasions, she took the glasses and broke the glass. And then here am I. I was a science student. So this is my mindset. This was my philosophy then. Whatever science can do, don't disturb God about it. God gave us common sense, and that's science. So rest. Let God solve the other stuff that science cannot solve. Why would you be disturbing God? And so when she did all the stuff, I just felt, no. This woman, she's just hyper, you know, fanatical. And so she will break the glasses and she'll say, I have faith. I can see clearly. So I'll smile on one side. You dare not smile in her face because my mom will beat the devil out of your life. So she was an African mother. And I'm telling you, when you do that, you do it behind her. You have an opinion about that, you keep it to yourself. You don't mention it to her because then you will look like the devil and you are trying to speak fear to our faith. But then give her, before 1 month, she will go and get another glasses. She did that like 2-3 times. So one day I asked her, I said, are you not wasting money? Why would you break the glasses only to go and get another one? Why not allow what God has given science to solve? All this faith you are doing is not working. I sounded like the devil to her that day. But you know the thing. She used her glasses ultimately until she passed on to glory. But then something happened to me. One of the days I was praying, I was now in college. I was studying science lab technology. So I did spend some time in the laboratory. I later went on to also do microbiology before later going to the seminary. So the journey was long. So I've always been a science-minded person. But one day, I was in my place of devotion and prayer, and something strange happened to me. Because I always wore the photochronic lens, so I made sure that was always there so that I don't have the sunlight or any light disturbing me. So I don't strain my eye in squeezing it to be able to see. But on this day, I was with my glasses and I was doing some stuff, you know, praying and studying my Bible. Then I put it aside just to do some other things. And then suddenly, now, I don't know how to explain that to you tomorrow. Maybe the day God tells me what it is, then I can explain it better. But I saw a light. shine directly into my eyes. And it was not the bulb, it was not the sun. It just happened. It's like something just hit straight and it was light. And that light was brighter than the usual light that I'm even afraid of. But something strange happened. After that light, I suddenly saw that I could see better. Number one, the sun or any lightning no longer troubled my eyes. I saw that I needed not to sit in front of the class to see again. I saw that I could read my Bible that had small character. I could read it. And somehow, from that time, in 1996, up to today, I've been privileged not to need to be afraid of the sun or not to be able to see far again. For me, hallelujah, that was a divine intervention that was not premised on me. Because what is my philosophy? What science can do, don't disturb God about it. And like I said, my mom still continued to use her own glasses till she died in 2021. So for me, that is an experience that I can never forget. And that experience challenged my faith to know that there are possibilities in God that is not just premised on you, but many a times on his mercy. And so, this morning, as we talk about navigating life and being a candidate of divine intervention, I want us to see ourselves in that young man who was by the pool. The pool was filled with a lot of people. It's called Bethesda, the house of mercy, the place of mercy. And the place of mercy, as far as it is in the present time, talks about God's presence. And that means it can be anywhere you are, as long as God chooses in his own sovereignty to reach your life. It could be in the church service. It could be in your private time of studying the word of God. It could be when you are singing praises, singing hymns, singing songs. It could be when you are praying. Divine intervention means God stepping into someone's situation to turn things around. And I believe that as Baptists, one of the things we know is that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, far above all we can ask or think, according to his power that is at work in our lives. There are situations in life that we face that would always require God stepping into our cases. There are situations that our human logic will not be able or be enough to take care of. There are situations that our friends, our families will not be able to sustain and carry us through. There are situations that even our faith may not be big enough to do some things. But you know, one of the interesting things I discovered in the parable of when he talks about the mustard seed, he said, even if you have faith as little as a mustard seed, you can say to a mountain to move. And so it's not the size of your faith, it's the size of your God. We serve a God who is all powerful, all knowing, and there are things he does for us out of his mercies. And the Bible says in Lamentations chapter 3, it said, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. And great is his faithfulness. I need us to understand, and I came this morning in order to encourage somebody who feels, I don't have faith enough. I can't pray enough. The mercies of God makes him, by his sovereignty, to step into our cases, even in the times we never prepared for it, we never thought of it, but it happens in a miraculous way. How many of us believe that God still does miracles? We need to know that. For God, what we call miracles are normalcy. But for us, they are miracles because they suspend the laws of nature. They suspend certain realities that we know, and they happen anyway. And God is still in the business of doing the miraculous. I have listened to people who have said, there is no more miracles. Miracles expired with Jesus. Some were magnanimous. They still say, oh, miracles ended with the apostles. So I ask such people the question, are you saying God has gone on holiday? Are you saying that angels are no longer real? Are you saying that the efficacy of the blood of Jesus has expired? So I don't know whether you are just finding yourself at certain phase of life that looks like the pool of Bethesda. You find yourself in the porches. The Bible said there were five porches. The number five is the number of grace, is the number of mercy. People waited, looking, never knew when the angel was going to appear. And so this young man who was the focus of the story had been in his condition for 38 years. 38 years he had been an invalid. 38 years he had been a liability. 38 years he had struggled that he couldn't be with his family, with his friends, with his loved one. 38 years he seemed not to be useful but useless. Why? Because when you are dealing with your health, there's hardly thought for other things. Someone once said, health is wealth. And so as we navigate life through health or other challenges, God's mercy is there for us. God's mercy, they are still new every morning. And God's mercy are available for us in Jesus Christ. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So just as he walked on to that young man knowing what he is going through, can I say to us, and I know you know that, God knows what you are going through. God knows what you are dealing with. God knows your strength. God knows your weaknesses. God knows the things you have prayed, the things you desire, the things you want, the goals you have set. God knows the things you're struggling with in private and in public. And do you know, by his sovereign mercy, he is able to step into your case or my case and do what only he will ever be able to do. That young man woke up that fateful day. I don't think he was expecting that to happen. There would never be anyone by that pool that would be expecting someone like Jesus will walk up to them and ask them questions. Why? All their focuses and attention was where? On the pool. So that they can sight when the angel comes. And I believe there are spectacular moments, there are supernatural moments, but I believe there are everyday moments that God is able by his mercy that are new every morning to do certain things for us. If we can trust him enough. If we can say, Lord, I may not have the faith that is strong enough, but I have faith like a mustard seed to be able to trust you that there is nothing that I'm going through that you cannot step into my case. As we enter into another season of the year, I want to say to us, the Lord God Almighty who planned the seasons of life never left us alone and left us hanging. You know, each time this season when I pass through, the other day I was making video calls and I was talking with my son, my eldest son, and he was looking and we were talking about the trees and what so many trees were stripped naked this season. No leaves on them. They look as good as dead. But give them a few weeks and what will happen again? The Bible says there is hope for a tree, for at the scent of water, it will bud again. And that's what we begin to see. Very soon we see those trees that looks as if they are dead, just standing there as if there's no life. At the scent of the waters of life, as God begins to breathe on them, as rain, and they start to show flower again. Yes, it's a phase, and in every phase, God makes a provision. Why did they lose the leaves? Why did they lose the flowers? So that they can live through the season. Sometimes you're going through some seasons, and you're wondering, why is it that I feel naked? Why is it that I feel lonely? Why is it that it seems as if God is not showing up for me? Even in those situations, God is there. And He's just incubating and preparing us for what is next. There's this song by Integrity Music some years ago that I heard. I don't know if some of us may know it. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. No one else could heal all our soul diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. No night so dark, but His love can cheer us. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles, and He will guide till the day is done. And there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Now, I don't know the things you've been dealing with. I don't know what people see about what you're going through. But then, look at this. Jesus asked him the question, do you want to be made well? Now, sincerely speaking, if you heard or you were there or you were the one and Jesus was asking you that, would it sound fair? Would it not seem cruel? You are asking me. I've been here 38 years in a problem and you're asking me if I want to be well. Am I doing sightseeing here or is it a cruise or tourism? I hope you understand. So sometimes when people are asking you, you're going through stuff and people feel that you are enjoying it. No one enjoys anything that is bringing pain. No one enjoys diseases. No one says, oh, because I paid for insurance, Lord, make me sick so that I can spend the insurance money. Do I have somebody here who wish and pray for that? Because you are paid for health insurance and you are not falling sick and you feel, these people are making profit. Lord, let me be sick. I want to use my... How do I go and renew when I didn't fall sick? Throughout, I didn't use for this year. I'm not going to renew next year. You will still renew because it's expected of you. But you can't pray that you want to be in such situation just because you want to expend the money. You can pray, Lord, let me have an accident so that my car insurance, they will be able to do something. I'm sure we don't have anybody like that here. If that crosses anybody's mind at any time, please pray, or you need to see professionals for some medical attention. So this young man was asked the question, do you want to be made well? And you see, he answered in a very normal way. What was his answer? He said, Lord, I do not have anyone to put me into the water. And he was speaking sincerely. You know, when I read that place, you know, the first thing that came to my mind, he had been in his condition for 38 years. If he had been at that pool for a very long time, people must have been bringing him food, grocery, something, at least something to keep life. Is that not so? He must have had someone coming and out at different times. But do you know how interesting it is? They never came at the time when the angel came. Is it that they showed up too early or they showed up too late? So sometimes I say to myself when I read the story like that, he looked like the chief tenant by the pool of Bethesda. And so that means for 38 years, if he was there for 38 years, he saw 38 people at least receive their own miracles. How would you feel? You see the potential, you see the possibilities, and yet, as close as his teeth to you, you are unable to get it. The Bible says his response to Jesus, he said, every time I try to, another person dives into the water before me. So he had a near success experience over and over. So it's not that he wasn't making effort. It's not that he wasn't trying to get healed. Some other person were just faster or smarter. Sometimes I say to myself, probably he could have just sat just by the... But then that would be dangerous, because if the angels didn't come and the water did overflow, then that would cover him. And so he may die anyway. So it was good for him to keep some distance. But then there were some other people who were ready with the whole of their life. As soon as the angel came, you are not getting there before me. So he said, every time I made effort. And I don't know if that sounds like you. I don't know if that sounds like me. At some time in our lives, it's not that we don't make effort when life hauls certain things at us. It's not that we don't make effort to be better or to see life get better for us. But somehow, it's just what it is. But one thing is certain. In the season when you don't expect. Now hear me. He woke up that day just like every other day. But you know what happened? What he could not get to for all this while, Jesus brought it to him. And that's where I'm going to end today. We will continue next Sunday on this story. There's so many other stuff we need to say there, and I don't want us to spend too much time. But hear me, look at it. He said, I didn't have anyone to help me, but God came down to help him. This is the Son of God coming to show up for him on a day he never or least expected. And you know the interesting part I discovered? Jesus walked straight to him with the thousands of people that were there at the pool trying to get the miracle, looking for the angel. The angel didn't show up, but the one who created the angel showed up just for one man, because mercy located him. Can you see yourself today as that candidate of God's mercy? Can you say to yourself in the midst of this congregation, I feel that God is about to locate me? That I may not have the faith enough, I may not have the lifestyle that some other people seem to have stronger. I may not be very solid in God's word. I may not be a prayer warrior, a prayer person like other people. But I know if there's something I can qualify for, is that God's mercy can still find me out. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. So while he was there, woke up like every other day, waiting to see if the angel would stir the water. God knew he's never been able to run fast to get to the water. So the one who has the living water walked up to him and said, "Are you ready? Are you willing to be made whole?" And he was still discussing about how he has not been able to get human help. But the one who is the helper, David described him as a very present help, even in the time of our troubles. He showed up for him. And I believe that we are in a season, as we get into the season of March, that God's mercy will locate not just us, but our family members in a special way. And I really want us to prepare our hearts for it. Not because you deserve it or I deserve it, but God chooses to reserve what he does. And when it comes to his mercy, he's very generous. And I just want you to picture yourself as that man by whatever pool of life. But then Jesus is showing up for you in your present situation. And he just wants to change your story. Let's bow down our heads this morning. Father, we are grateful. Thank you for the story this morning. Thank you for the lessons of this moment. Thank you for how that we will see yet more next week, the things that you would want us to explore. That as we navigate life, let us prepare our hearts to know that your divine intervention is possible. Not because we have the biggest of faith, but because your mercies are new. The same way you located that young man by the pool of Bethesda and changed his story, Lord, for everyone under the sound of my voice and for everyone who would yet listen to these messages online later, I ask, oh God, that indeed you will step into our cases. We will enjoy and experience divine intervention, not just for ourselves, but for our family members and everyone connected to us. That, Lord, we may have testimonies of your goodness, your mercy, and the miraculous. In Jesus' name, amen.